What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Mahomes pitched it to Edwards-Helaire, and there was Devin White. White, 13 tackles, 4 assists, 9 solos.
Great play, Devin White.
Goes toward the end zone. Battle intercepted. Picked off in the end zone. Bucs are going to beat the Chiefs. Devin White, what a great second season. That's it for KC.
Eli, we're our champions.
Super Bowl champ Devin White is now joining us after finishing the game with 12 tackles, 2 for loss, and an interception. Devin got a chance to ride his horse Dream around Raymond James Stadium with the Lombardi Trophy in hand. Devin, it is so good to see you. I understand you're joining us from the barn, which is amazing. I gotta ask, how cool was it to take your horse on a victory lap with the Lombardi Trophy in hand?
Yeah, it was really cool. It was a really special moment for me, man. So I just want to thank everybody who had a hand in allowing me to do that because, you know, I got the best of both worlds with my horse and with my football passion. And plus, I had the best trophy in all of football that everybody chased in my hand.
Devin, it's Skip. I want to go back to the game for a moment. I consider you the best blitzer in all of pro football. And I occasionally, during the Super Bowl, got a little frustrated that obviously your game plan, as it pretty much was in the regular season game, was to back off, just rush the four, and play some pass defense. Did you occasionally miss getting to go after Mahomes a little more than you were allowed to by the game plan?
Yeah, most definitely, man. I most definitely wanted to sack on Mahomes because he's so elusive. And yep. I just be wanting to show people that, like, if I get after him, I could get him. And I had a couple rushes, but it was, like, kind of spy rushes. Like, when you're moving around, just get him off the spot. And I was able to do that a couple times. And, you know, but I was just pleased with whatever Ty Bowles came up with. I was just wanted to execute it.
It worked.
Devin, Shannon Sharp here. Congratulations on the win. I love the way you play. I love the passion. I love the intensity. I love the suddenness. And I was a little disappointed that you didn't make the Pro Bowl, although you did get the bigger bowl, the Super Bowl. So going into the season, tell me what were your goals? What was your expectation now that you got Tom Brady on your team?
Hey, my goals was always to make sure we had the best defense. You know, our guys was going out there and landing on the line because, man, every school that I done played at LSU, we didn't have the best quarterbacks. You know, Joe Burrow turned it on a year later when I left. But it was always, if we do good on defense, we can give us the opportunity to win a lot of football games. So that was my big mindset. But, I mean, that's just what it is, man. When we got Tom, it was, like, really, really, really exciting because I knew he could come in and he could control the game because he's a vet. He'd been there before, and I just knew we was going to do our part to get us to the Super Bowl, and we just needed a little push from him because at the end of the day, defense wins championships.
Mm-hmm. So, Devin, try to put into words what it meant to not only you but the whole team just to have Brady in your locker room, in the offensive huddle, just to be around Tom Brady.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. If you know you prayed on a wishing star, that's something right there you never think about in a million years. I never thought I'd play with Tom Brady. But I knew, and I knew when I got the opportunity that I was gonna make the best of it. Every day I told the defense, we'll never play with a quarterback like him. So we need to take advantage of having him on our team right now. And he gonna lead us to the promised land. All we gotta do is just handle our business. He gonna do the rest. So that was my whole mindset, my whole because you can bring any quarterback in, they can't really do what Tom Brady does.
No.
Devin, I'm watching the game plan and seemed to what your plan was, like, look, we're gonna get after your quarterback with our four. We're gonna play what we call a box and one. We're gonna take Levante David, you take Kelsey, you got him man. We're gonna play two high shell, and we're gonna let you roam, Devin. Why were you? Why did you think you were so successful playing that defense? And what would you think? Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's a great thing. I think it was a combination defense because nobody ran free. Nobody had just single one-on-ones besides like Levante because we knew he could hold it down because that's what he do. And at the end of the day, when you're playing football, you can't be selfish. You got to respect your opponent. And we respected those guys, especially 10. We knew what he did to us when we tried to play cover one single high safety. And we'll be a fool to get beat like that again. We'll be a complete fool. So, you know, they can say what they want, man. At the end of the day, you got to improvise. You got to do what's best for the team. We did what's best for the team. But I can say this. Everybody got a piece of their receivers. It wasn't just one person. It took everybody on the back end. And a thing is, we wanted to be physical early just to get the guys up front enough time. So it was kind of going hand in hand. We knocked the timing off. The guys up front get after them. So, man, that's what I say, man. That's why, look, during the season, I gave them boys the name Grave Diggers and say, you put everything to rest, man. From here on out, you got to put them to rest.
Are you surprised that they didn't change the game plan because they were just scat protection? They didn't adjust. They didn't do max protect. They didn't do anything. They just kept trying to get five out, and your four was beating their five.
Yeah, and that's another thing like that we knew going in. We knew that they was going to be a cocky team, which they have every right to be. They was the number one offense in the entire National Football League. But the thing is, we knew they couldn't block us. We knew that our front four was going to dominate them. So they did us a favor. They played right into our hands. We weren't going to be that cocky team like, hey, we're going to play them in cover one. We're going to shut them down. Our best guys matched up on their best guys. We was going to make it be a team collective win on defense, and that's what we did, man. So at the end of the day, they shouldn't even talk about not having their offensive tackles when they didn't even help them. They put them on islands by themselves with the best pass rushers in the game. So that's at their own fault.
Devin, how much did it stick in your craw that Tyreek backflipped on you in the game 10 weeks earlier on the same field?
Hey, me being a competitor, that hurt.
Yeah.
Man, he literally slapped us all in the face. That hurt. And at the end of the day, I knew we was going to meet them again. I knew they was going to make it to the Super Bowl. They're a very great, group. Yeah. But the thing was, I told them, we're going to get the last laugh. Just like when we played the Saints, we're going to get the last laugh when it counts. You know, it only matter in the postseason. Ty Boyles kept saying, "Don't nobody remember what you did in the beginning of the season. Only January and February count the most, but you got to make it to January." So we knew what it was.
Yeah.
Your coach said the other day at the parade, Bruce Arians, that you physically kicked their ass. Would you agree with that assessment? Was it just sheer physicality, just how nasty your defense can play?
Yeah, I agree 100%. And a lot of people don't even realize, like, what we did as far as, like, holding them guys to 9 points, not letting them in the end zone. But they started gaining yards when we was already up 21 points. We had already gave our little brothers the controllers, man, said, "Huh, y'all can go finish them off." And they just started giving up little BS yards, man. They started giving up little yards at the end. So I know everybody praising. Old Travis Kelce had 133. But a lot of that came at the end of the game when it was already over. We were sitting back in zone playing soft. Same as Tyreek Hill, man. It was third and 20-something. Coach Bowles told us to sit back 15 yards at the stick, and he caught it and ran. That gave him a lot of yards and make him look like he had a decent day. But at the end of the day, we know what went on. It was a lot of toe tagging out there.
Did you know, because you played that coverage and you know one thing, that you're vulnerable. You play nickel defense, and not to get too complicated, you play 4-2-5. But you know, in order to that defense, if they run the football, it puts you in a bind. It seems like to me you knew they wouldn't run the football. They were going to throw the football with Mahomes and try to spread the ball around. So like you said, they did play into your hands by not even attempting to run the football.
Yeah, man. I end up talking to my buddy Clyde. It was at Clyde after the game. You know, he played for Kansas City.
Right.
And I said, "Bro, I don't understand. We were so light in the box." And I think us being the number one rush defense and stoning everybody, I think they kind of took them away before the game even started. Like, the Vikings running back, Dalvin Cook, he was the only running back to rush for 100 on us this year. And they stayed with the run. So that's just to let you know how good, you know, Dalvin Cook is in his offensive line. But we knew they didn't want to. We knew that RPO was going to be their run game. We knew that coming in. So that can kind of help us. And then Ty Boyles told me and Levante, y'all going to play two gaps, and y'all going to show everybody why y'all the best in the world if they do run the ball.
So, Devin, you guys at the parade were very outspoken about how you are going to win it again next year. It came across to me anyway, like you were all but guaranteeing you're going to win it next year. Can you go that far for us? Do you guarantee it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of work that got to be re-put in, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's why I want one of those guys, because, you know, I'm going to stay humble about it, because we got to get there. You don't want to set yourself up for failure with that. But at the end of the day, I feel like as the season progressed, we started hitting our stride. We started coming together as one. The offense started dominating. Like, man, we got so good that we didn't care if they won the coin toss, because if we won, we was going to take the ball anyway and start the game off like that. So that's just to let you know how good we was getting. And a lot of people don't realize how young we are in the secondary. Myself, you know, everybody on the rookie contract in the back end, including myself. So you count me and those guys, you know, the ones that really bring that energy and that swagger to the defense. Man, we was all coming back. But, you know, Jason Light, he got a tough task to do. He got to see if he can keep those other boys, because I love playing with him. We all love playing with each other. We bonded like this. And if he can bring them back, if we get our whole defense back, then I'll start being talking a little cocky then.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. So, Devin, of the guys who could be free, Who do you fear losing the most? You got Shaq and Godwin, obviously, to start with.
Levante.
Yeah. Who do you fear? Who do you think you might lose the most?
Oh, I say probably Shaq. Everybody want a great pass rusher. Yeah. He's one of the best in the game right now. I'm telling you, man, when that guy smell blood in the water, you can't stop him. And if I was some other GM and stuff, and I'm looking at him on the table, I'm throwing the house at him.
Yeah.
I'm throwing the house at him. Like, he need to go. I'm throwing the house at him. He need to be up there with the elite guys. He sat behind Von Miller. He didn't complain. And he got a Super Bowl with them. Then they drafted Bradley Chubb. They slapped him in the face. And you see what he came to us and did in 2 years. I think in 2 years, he probably leading the NFL in sacks.
Yeah.
And then the thing that he's underrated as, he played a run extremely well.
Yeah.
And we be dropping him in coverage.
Let's talk about that parade. Your quarterback, you know, he had a few up in him. He throwing the trophy, and then, you know, he had a little bit. He said he had too much avocado tequila. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised to see him acting like the uncle at the cookout?
Nah, I wasn't. I like what I thought Tom Brady was going to be, you know, the type of person and player he was. And when I got in the locker room, everything changed. Like, you know, he's still like one of us. You know, I thought he was just going to be some old head, go home to his family all the time. But he really be in the locker room vibing. So I really could see that, you know, from him. See, he got his hat turned back and everything. He a swaggy guy, man. My guy being there with the Richie Million, you know what I'm saying? So I respect Tom, man. He ain't no, you know, he ain't no uncle, man. He big bro around here. We don't treat him as an old head.
Oh, Devin, such good stuff. That interview was fascinating. Thank you so much for
your
time.
Deb, you got a lake on that on property of yours, because I want to come down there and get some fishing in. I will beat you fishing at your own lake.
I got three ponds on there, man. I'm gonna stock it for you with some big bass so I can help you cheat, because I know you ain't gonna get nothing on your own. So I'll stock it just for you.
All right. So appreciate good. It. Congratulations again, bro.
Let me bring Way the to go, show Devin. Down there, and I'll go riding with Devin. Devin, thank you so much for
Come
your
on.
Time. Congratulations.
Come on, y'all.
You're a Super
y'all
Bowl
have a
champ.
Live day.
Congrats. We'll check in with you again soon, and best of luck next season. Enjoy this while you can, Devin.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called the People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness. Or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
New tracks, new teams, and a new champ. The 2021 NASCAR season starts in just 2 days with the Great American Race, the Daytona 500 Sunday, only on Fox. It really is one of the best events of all sports. I can't wait. Our friends here at Fox Sports, how about this, even gave us some special Daytona 500 Valentine's chocolates to celebrate.
Yeah,
I know you guys won't be enjoying these.
You don't.
I will. You guys are way too healthy over there. But are you excited for Sunday?
I am. There are two things I'm looking for, Jenny. I'm looking at Denny Hamlin. Can he become the first driver to win 3 consecutive Daytona 500s? And Bubba Wallace. I believe Brand Jordan is giving him a car to win. He just has to stay out of harm's way and give himself a chance late in the race, Kip. I like Bubba Wallace in the Brand Jordan car.
And you just had Bubba on your podcast.
I did. The oldest girlfriend is allowed to call him Daryl.
Okay.
Good to know for all of us. I'm looking forward to it. I was there in 2015, and it's like nothing else to see it live. So thank you for the treats. I'm going to be enjoying my chocolates, and I got to get to some breaking news, because J.J. Watt is no longer a Texan. In a video he released on Twitter this morning, Watt says he sat down with the McNair family, asked for his release, and they've mutually agreed to part ways. Watt thanked the city of Houston, but added, quote, "I'm excited and looking forward to a new opportunity." And according to Fox Bet, the Steelers and Packers have the best odds to land him, while his brother T.J. is already actively recruiting J.J. on Twitter. Wow, Shannon, how much can he help another team? This is big news.
That's a very interesting question, Skip, because I think the injuries over the last couple of years have kind of robbed J.J. of his explosiveness, because he was as good as we had in the league. He was being Aaron Donald before Aaron Donald burst onto the scene. And so last year he had 5 sacks in 16 games, Skip, and it was worth the he played a full season. But that was the first time in like 2 years of the last 5 that he's played over half the season. Torn pec in 2019, tibial plateau fracture in 2017, 2 back surgeries in 2016, Skip. You see a lot of lower stuff going on, which makes a defensive lineman explosive. Now, T.J. Watt, they play a 3-4 defense, maybe goes to his brother. The Packers, Wisconsin, goes home. Is he one of those guys that you're talking about that's willing that Tom Brady can recruit to go down to Tampa and play in that system? So maybe. It'll be very interesting, Skip. It's hard to say what a guy – it's hard for a guy that's had these kind of injuries to get better later in their career.
Yeah.
But maybe a fresh start, maybe going somewhere else, hearing different terminology, being in a different environment can revive J.J. Watt. Because there was a stretch there, Skip. We thought he was going to be the best defensive player to ever walk into the NFL.
Going on 32 years of age next month, 10 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans just let him go.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume they attempted to trade him. and there's no market trade-wise because these teams will sit back and say, well, we can probably get him for free.
And you heard him speak out earlier, Skip, about his displeasure of what was going on in Houston. So this is
No doubt.
Probably saw this coming.
So you and I opened this show back in September of 2016. With you going on record, you thought J.J. Watt at that point, just over 4 years ago, was the best player in football, said Hall of Famer Shannon Sharpe. Not the best player on defense, the best player in football, said Shannon Sharpe. All those injuries have piled up since then, and he has slowly sunk into the sunset with the Texans just because his body is betraying the way yours finally did at 35. But his is happening a little earlier because he is high contact, high collision. And as you said, two back surgeries. He tore his pec, knee strain, broken leg, ab tear, elbow dislocation, multiple hand injuries because he's always clutching, grabbing, trying to hold on to somebody. And so you say, how about performance? So I go on what I respect. You got a little respect for Pro Football Focus, but last 3 years he's started to fade down. But again, he was the 21st. That's pretty
Defensive player, or defensive lineman.
Defensive player. Okay. All defense. All defense. It's still that's pretty, pretty good. You know, like there's some value there. It always happens if you can just, because he's been stuck in a sad sack situation in Houston, sorry situation. Now the young quarterback wants out. Well, obviously, that wears on you too. So if you change scenery, if you have a little bit of a rebirth. You know, obviously, if you can reunite with your younger brother in Pittsburgh, if you can go home to Wisconsin, if you can play with Tom Brady, whatever it is. It's just going to revitalize you, and maybe you feel a little better. Let's do Tampa. Maybe you go to Tampa, and you're living in the warmth and the heat. Even Brady said, man, I wake up every morning. I feel so much better than I ever felt in New England.
It's different.
I'm never going back.
It's different, Skip. After, you know, playing, in, you know, playing, practicing in Denver, then going down to warm weather places to play. We played in Miami. We played in Tampa, had in Tampa, played in Baltimore, or going to San Diego. Like, man, in January like this, and it's like this year.
I don't know exactly how much I would risk on to pay him, but I think he has high value for a year or two where you could get Sue value out of him the way the Bucks did, because Sue still is playing at a fairly high level. He's not what he was coming out of Nebraska. But he helped them a lot this year. He helped them past Sunday.
He had a sack and a half.
He did.
In the Super Bowl. And we know he's always been great against the run. But, Skip, like I said, these injuries, I think as the injuries started to mount, you saw J.J. production start to wane. And I think some of that had to do with his training. And I think he had to change up the way he's training. And that's the hardest thing to get, Skip, is that when you're an elite athlete, and you're young, you can train not only with intensity, but with volume. The hardest thing that I had to understand to back away, Skip, I couldn't do the volume. I couldn't do the 10 to 15 to 2200 meter sprints. But I could, but I couldn't get that through my head until I started pulling hamstrings. I started pulling groins. And I started pulling quads. And I went, and my trainer was saying, Shannon, you can't run at 25. I mean, at 30, at 33, like you did at 25. So stop trying it. Don't do hard, do smarter. And so I think that's what J.J. is going to have to. You can't do 1,000-pound tire flips, J.J. You can't be squatting 650 pounds on your back, J.J. It's a different game now. You got to train smarter, bro.
Too much of that, to me, from a distance, was for the sake of your brand on social media as opposed to winning football games and performing at the highest level. You don't need to do those things unless you just want the likes on social media, because I think he social media his way out of football too at in Houston because he was trying death-defying stunts like the tire flip. And after a while, you're probably putting your body in harm's way where you're risking once the season starts, you're going to be more vulnerable to injury because you pushed way too hard in the offseason. So if he smartens up that way, if he swallows some of his ego on social media, if you put him in the middle of that Steelers rush, he could, that'd work.
I think he has, like I said, Skip, will he ever be what he once was? No. But I think he can get, like you said, I believe he can give you great value. I think he can get you somewhere between 5 and 8 sacks in a season.
He could.
Given a great situation.
Hey, if you put him between the Smiths in Green Bay,
yeah.
Sure, that would work.
Yeah.
If they somehow keep Shaq Barrett with JPP and obviously Vita Vea and you put him in there,
yeah,
that work? Sure, it would work.
The thing is, Skip, is he going to be okay with being a rotational player? That's another thing that you have to ask a guy, Skip. He's been an every-down player. So is he going to be okay rotating? Is he going to be okay instead of getting 60 snaps, maybe getting 30, 35 snaps?
Okay.
Those are things that you're going to have to talk to him about.
You want to win a championship or not?
Because I think the thing is, Skip, as we start to get age, what am I most effective at? Yeah, you can play 60, but are you going to be impactful at the 60? Mm-hmm. I'd rather for you be impactful at 30, 35 plays as opposed to just being out there to say, well, I'm starting, I'm playing. Man, he's playing every snap. He's still playing every snap. But are you impactful? Are you making a difference on those snaps?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, Skip, as great players, as we start to age, we lose sight of that. It's just more important to be out on the field. Nah, as I start to get older, Mike said, look, I don't need you for 65 plays. I need you for 40 great plays. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Okay. That was the Tampa way this year. Check your ego at the door. And we're going to rotate a lot of players all over the place, mm-hmm. right? And nobody seemed to have an issue once they won the Super Bowl, right? Okay.
And I think that's the only thing that's not in his resume, you know. I mean, you got Defensive Player of the Year, you got All Pros, you got Rookie of the Years, but you want that final piece. You want the final piece of the puzzle, mm-hmm. which is a Super Bowl ring.
Would you say he's a first ballot Hall of Famer
Absolutely.
Already?
Yeah, okay.
All right.
No mercy.
There's been much talk about a Carson Wentz trade happening soon, and all indications are the Eagles have offers on the table, but they're not lucrative enough for Philly to pull the trigger. Former Eagles quarterback Michael Vick joins us now. So, Mike, this situation, it's been brewing for a while now, but do you think they should trade Wentz?
You know, I'm kind of torn on this one. You know, when I look at Carson Wentz, I still see so much ability, so much football left to play. And when you have a new coaching staff come in, you know, it's, you know, a smorgasbord of different things that, you know, he's going to be presented, whether good or bad. And I think it'll probably be more good, and it may be something that may spark his interest. So, you know, not only myself, but this organization could be torn because in order to move Carson, you have to be compensated in the right way. And I think that's with draft picks and probably some players. But, you know, if they do decide to move on, this wouldn't be a bad thing for Carson Wentz. You know, they still have Jalen Hurts waiting in the wing. But Carson to land on his feet somewhere. And I think in terms of being in Philadelphia and what he's accomplished so far, he has a lot to be proud about. And, you know, that Super Bowl run, he deserves a lot of credit for that. So, you know, when I think back on his career and what he's done so far in the last 4 years, you know, it suffices for me. I think he's done some great things. And if he goes on and moves on, he has some amazing ability that I think can, you know, fit with, you know, some, you know, teams that's out there. And, you know, who knows who that could be. But I think Carson has done enough in Philadelphia. If he decides to move on, I think he'll have some success somewhere else. And if he doesn't, I think it'll be 1 year and then next year be out, but he'll be out. But I don't know, man. I'm kind of torn with this one. You know, hopefully, you know, he stays in Philadelphia for one more season. If not, then I think he'll land on his feet, like I said.
I'm not torn at all. He has to go. And I said, Skip, once they benched him, I said, somebody was going to have to go. I said, Carson Wentz or Doug Peterson is gone. Carson Wentz realized that, hold on, Doug Peterson did not make this move to put Jalen Hurts in without the blessing of the general manager and the owner. So everybody is culpable for me going to the bench. He holds everybody culpable. That's why he says, I want out. He's looking at this situation like, y'all did this to me. I cannot in good even if you bring a new coach in, I know what you did last year. So he wants out. You have to get rid of him. And you see, the problem that the Eagles are having, they're looking at what the Rams gave up to get Matthew Stafford. But people around the league don't view Carson Wentz like they view Matthew Stafford. So you can't get that. Skip, we might have a house in the same subdivision. Somebody got to list their house for $5 million. Ooh, they got $5 million for that? Your house might only be worth $2 million. Just because somebody paid $5 million for the house across the street from your house in the same subdivision doesn't mean your house is worth $5 million. It doesn't mean Carson Wentz is worth 2 first-rounders and another draft pick because someone else gave up that for a starting quarterback. Philly, take your losses. They know you want to get rid of him. They're not going to give you maximum value for something that you want to discard, Skip.
No.
Don't they know how this works?
No.
I mean, so, that's the reason I say, that's the reason I say you keep him for another year and you deal with it.
You can't.
Just one more season.
You can't keep him in that locker room, Mike.
They can't.
No, they can't. No, you can't.
So, Michael, not to put you on the spot here, but is it fair to say that you have as much Eagles in your heart as you have your original team Falcons in your heart? Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. They hold a special place in my heart.
They do.
I want nothing but the best for the organization.
Yep. And Andy Reid obviously holds a very special place in your heart.
Most definitely.
So I'm with Shannon for a different reason here. Obviously, I'm not an Eagles fan. They're not in my heart. But from the start, I couldn't get sold on Carson Wentz. And as a lifelong Cowboy fan, I always told Shannon, I don't fear him when we play them. There's something about his lack of command of the position where he doesn't have the great feel for playing the position that I think you need to have to be an ultimately Super Bowl winning quarterback. And obviously he was a disaster last year. You can say it wasn't all his fault, but he led the league in turnovers. He also led the league in sacks, which is not all his fault, but he did hang on to the ball too long occasionally trying to throw the home run, which he can do because he's a big, strong, strapping young man with a big arm. But to me, I didn't sense the poise, the touch, the leadership intangibles that you need in a franchise quarterback. So I understand that they finally decided we have to move in a different direction. Mm-hmm. And the question becomes, let's do Frank Reich. Obviously, he was there.
Right.
He coached him. Run. He coached him, and it turned into a Nick Foles Super Bowl run. I'm still not sure Carson could have pulled off what Nick Foles pulled off. Again, Shannon believes in him because Shannon's a fan of Carson Wentz. But the question becomes, Michael, if you reunited him with a man who coached him and loves him and believes in him, and Frank Reich.
And Nicole's got a great offensive line.
He's got a great offensive line.
They got a great offensive line.
Okay. So Michael, would you see big success? Could they win a Super Bowl in Indianapolis with Carson Wentz at quarterback?
I mean, anything is possible. You know, he can go to the Indianapolis Colts and inherit some of the things that he had when he got to Philadelphia. And part of the reason he has success is because they had a great defense. In 2017, their defense was clicking. So Carson was getting more opportunities. The offensive line was better. JP was younger. Lane yep. Johnson was playing some of his best football. And it showed. Carson was checking plays at the line of scrimmage. He yep. was changing plays. Him and Doug was clicking. I seen it, and I took notice to it, and I think they was, 9-1 before he got hurt. And then all of a sudden, everything changed. And, you know, I know in life, in football, everything is subject to change. And when that happened, it was more pressure on Carson. You know, Frank Wright moved on the next season, and you know, things were different. So it didn't look the same. And that's natural. That's a natural progression at the quarterback position. But, you know, given the right pieces, when you have the defense, when you have the offensive line, you can get the best version out of any quarterback that your organization believe in if he's behind the center. You just got to give him a chance and surround him with the right pieces. Now, I'm not saying he can't go to Indianapolis and get everything that he deserves or everything that he needs in order to push forward and have success.
Yeah, I like the Indy situation, Skip, because as I mentioned, they got a great offensive line. They need to re-sign T.Y. Hilton, Michael Pippen Jr., Jack Doyle. They have some weapons.
They do.
They can run the football with the Taylor kid out of Wisconsin.
Yeah, what quarterback yes, don't need that, though?
No, but I'm just saying.
Don't need weapons.
Mike,
what quarterback don't need an offensive line? What quarterback don't need
Mike,
the defense?
Mike, it's
just fortunate
over.
Not to have all that.
Mike, it's over for Carson in Philly. That's done. He's not going back. You can't bring him back. You can't say, just bring him back. Yeah, you can hold on to him. No, you can't. He will poison the locker room. I'm not sold on Jalen Hurts either. But you cannot bring Carson Wentz. After everything that y'all have gone through together, you've got to get him out of that locker room. It is an absolute must. And guess what? They're going to end up taking Ron Jaworski reported that the news that he's heard, the best offer they've gotten was 2 twos and a possible third or fourth down the line.
From Indianapolis.
From Indianapolis.
So if they don't get what they want, what happens with Carson Wentz?
Mike, you know how it is with that quarterback.
In Philadelphia, they have to deal with it. One more season. Look, Jalen Hurts, he's young. He has a long way to go. I'm not saying I don't trust this man in his second season. I'm saying that you can always make amends.
No, you can't.
In the locker room.
Something. No, you can't. You can't make amends with this one.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't, Mike. No, you can't, sir.
We are human with emotion.
You know how the quarterback is wired. You know there are certain positions that you cannot cross that bridge. You can bench a lot of players. You can bench a wide receiver. You can bench an offensive lineman. You can bench a defensive lineman. But you can't bench a guy that you gave $140 million to and says, shut up, just sit here. That's not going to happen, Mike. It's never going to happen.
I understand, Shay. I totally understand what you're saying, and that goes back to the human emotional side that I just spoke about. But you're getting paid a lot of money. And you're just playing football.
Okay.
Listen, who cares about the emotions that's flying around the locker room or upstairs? If I know I have all the right pieces in place and I can go out there and do my job, then I'm going to go out there and do it to the best of my ability. And then next year, if y'all want to move on, go ahead and move on. I'm still in my fifth, sixth year. I'm still 28, 29 years old with a lot of football left.
Michael Vick, I tell you what I do. I bet you a golden doorknob to a 5-gallon bucket of cow manure, and I'll let you put up the cow manure, that Carson Wentz will be up out of there within a month or two.
Okay. Agree. Let's agree to disagree on that. Let's flip the script to my team, the Dallas Cowboys, the arch rivals, because there have been now reports that Dak Prescott is asking for $40-plus million, as I tried to tell you all last year. They want to escalate into the 40s over a four-year deal.
Yes.
Okay, we get it.
Yes.
Michael Vick, back to you. Will Dak Prescott be worth $40-plus million a year going into a four-year deal to the Dallas Cowboys?
Absolutely, Skip. And if you got any say-so in this, man, if you got a relationship with Jerry Jones, you call him up and you tell him, pay Dak. Dak went down last year. And even though the team was already struggling, it was up and down. It was rocky. You know, while I feel like, you know, they was finding their way. They was on to some good things before Dak got hurt. It was just a little bit too late, and the football gods wasn't on his side, or the injury gods, I would say. But, you know, good quarterback play is just so hard to find in the National Football League. And I think when you inherit a guy like Dak Prescott and you shape and mold him to what you want him to be, you know, under the tutelage of Mike McCarthy, who, by the way, is probably one of the best offensive, one of the top offensive minds in the game, I think, because under
him, Aaron Rodgers
seems to get better and better. Aaron Rodgers got better and better each and every year. That was his first year working with Dak under a lot of weird, intricate circumstances. So I would say pay Dak, trust him. It's a lot of ways to get this deal done. You know, give him the money that he deserved and see what you can get out of Dak Prescott.
You see what I see? Now, Buffalo Bill is not going to have a problem playing Josh Allen. Cleveland Browns, we're going to talk about, because of the breaking news with J.J. Watt, we're going to talk about Baker Mayfield. They're going to have no problem playing Baker Mayfield.
They might make him the highest paid quarterback in
the
football.
Baltimore Ravens are going to have no problem playing Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Nobody has a problem playing their quarterback that they believe in except one team, Mike. Who is that? The Dallas Cowboys. For whatever reason, we need to see one more. We need to see this. We need to see that. You see, when they believe in you, they'll pay you. When they don't, they provide lip service. Oh, we can win a Super Bowl with that. Oh, he's a great leader. Mm-hmm. But you guess what you haven't done? You haven't let him put pen to paper on that contract. And I told you, Skip, the price was never going to be as cheap as it was 2 years ago. The price is going up. Mm. It's like real estate. Mm. Real estate ain't coming, coming down. Even in the pandemic, real estate was still, the housing market was still through the roof.
Yeah, Shannon Troy Aikman and Tony Romo not walking through that door no time soon.
You gotta pay $40 million.
What a hypocrite you are, Shannon Sharp. You have trashed. You have trashed my quarterback repeatedly on this show. You have given him F's for his performance regularly on this show. And you're saying, give him $40-plus million. Give him more than Deshaun Watson makes. Stop it. Yeah, because you think you want to wreck my salary.
You got to pay the man.
Would you believe, little known fact, that Dak was on the tag last year at $31.4 million? Do you realize that counted 22% of the Cowboy cap? That was the most any quarterback in the league counted percentage-wise against their cap?
And why is that?
Just on the tag alone.
Well, guess what? You're going to probably... My thing is, if you don't believe in him, just let him go.
Mm.
I tell you what. Say, here, Dak, you know what? We're going to let you test the free agent market. Mm. All we ask you to do is give us an opportunity to match the offer. Mm.
By the way, quick point of order here. Dak counted 22% 10% of the cap last year. Would you believe that Tom Brady in his last four Super Bowl runs to championships counted an average of 11.5% of his team's caps? That would be three in New England, one in Tampa. Because he was taking less.
This is why you don't take less as the best player, because then the expectation is for everybody else around the league is to take less. That's why they don't allow you to do it in baseball. That's why they don't allow you to do it in, really don't want you doing it. You can't allow the best players to take less money, Mike, because now you suppress the market for the other guys.
Yeah, well, I got mixed emotions on this, because when I was in Atlanta, I took less money in 03, in 05 and 06. You know, restructure my deal so we can sign more players. So I'm all for signing guys and breaking.
Dude, you were the highest paid player in football. Stop talking about you took less money. You were the first. You had the biggest contract in football.
I started giving money back, bro.
No. But you gave money back after what? After you had got money. You didn't take no discount at the first time.
Right.
Okay, then.
You right.
Shannon, calling on Mike there. That's how it was. Mike, we appreciate you. We appreciate your honesty. We appreciate
Thank you
always
Michael.
Joining Undisputed.
Mike, I'll see you. We talk on Monday.
We'll pick this up again.
No mercy.